to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
It's good to have you on board live in Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss and Holly Howard here on Thanksgiving week. Yes, we do refer to it as that. Normally we have the Maui Invitational going on, which is always one of my favorite sporting events of the entire year. We will talk college football, and Paul Stone's going to join us in about 45 minutes. We'll get his best bets so far of the weekend. And you know what we're going to do with Paul? We're going to have him run down his top 10 teams in his power ratings, and then maybe he's going to try to guess how the committee will look at the top 10 tonight as well, which we'll do coming up in about 5 minutes.
And also what he bets on. He's doing an incredible job every week, getting the best numbers and positive value too. And the great Nigel Seeley coming on. I cannot believe all the soccer today.
This is always a busy week, right, in soccer?
I don't know.
I think Thanksgiving week is huge over there.
Champions League today and tomorrow. There are 25 Europa League matches on Thanksgiving. You have Championship today, Champions League, League One, League Two, MLS playoffs, triple header. I got an MLS play coming up later, too.
Oh, very nice.
Well, a listener put me on it. It was a terrific breakdown. But I am stunned by all the soccer today. And actually, the next 3 days.
Next week, yeah.
That's great.
Yep.
And two unders yesterday in the Premier League.
So some of the biggest line moves this week at Circus Sports, they post the world openers in college football every Sunday around 11 o'clock Pacific time. And, you know, Monroe is one of the worst teams in college football, if not the worst. Right there with what?
UMass. Yeah.
Bowling Green?
Yeah.
Okay. So Louisiana opened up 21. They're on the road. Not that it means anything. At Monroe, they're now laying 28.5. Oh. 7.5-point line.
Oh, my God. Hide the women and children. Oh, mercy. Yeah.
Again, as I said yesterday, we'll get to the UMass number in a second.
Well, how about UMass taking money?
I know, right? Yes.
That's great.
Against a very good Liberty team, obviously.
Yeah. Well, flat spot, but I don't know if it matters, but sure.
Opened up 43 down to 38.
And a 9-point move on the total.
And as I said, give me the number on Bama versus UMass. Could you actually, if they met, could you post a 70? Could you post a 65 on a game? Or do you not ever go like above, you know, 50s or whatever? But so UMass was 1, 9.5-point move on the total. Georgia Southern opened up catching 4 points at Georgia State. They're now a 2.5-point favorite. You discussed the Nevada move at Hawaii. Opened up 2, now all the way to 7.
You know how many how many points UMass has scored on the season?
I don't.
12. They lost 41 rip to Georgia Southern. Marshall beat them 51-10. They lost last week 24-2.
4 points a game. Pretty good average.
Oh, yeah. Hence the 9-point move on the total.
Something to be proud of.
Bad spot for Liberty, too. The undefeated dream season came to an end because of Hugh Freeze. But
yep. A couple of other really bad teams playing this week and lines going against them. UTEP in action, taking on. I mean, Rice opened up 7. They're now 11.5 against UTEP.
Yeah.
And the other one is, it's every week. How bad is UNLV? Because that number did open up. Wyoming 13 was bet to 16.5.
God, that's a day game Friday. Ooh. Then next Friday they play Boise. That could get out of control.
Yeah. Up next, we'll do the we'll talk about the first college committee power ratings coming up tonight, and you can bet on this stuff. We will discuss next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Turkey Day football Thursday. The Lions hosting the Houston Texans. Lions coming off their first shutout loss since 2009, losing 20-0 at the Carolina Panthers. They're a 2.5-point dog at Ford Field against the Houston Texans. Dallas Cowboys hosting their NFC East rivals from Washington. Cowboys a 3-point favorite, 46.5. The total at AT&T Stadium. And Thursday night football on Thanksgiving Day, it's the Steelers hosting the Ravens. Steelers a 4-point favorite. The total 46.5. VSiN's making your holidays bright with 25% off our VSiN subscription. That includes 24/7 video streaming, point spread weekly, daily email updates, and much more. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and save 25%. That's vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
morning. Welcome into the show. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the sports betting network, from our new home, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard. Plenty of ways to get in touch with the show. Email works as well as any of them. It's FTM at VSiN.com, FTM for Follow the Money at VSiN.com. We're also on Instagram, VSiN, Mitch Moss, Paulie Does Howard. Get us all
Paulie
up there.
Paulie Does Vegas.
What did I say? Paulie Does Howard?
No.
Paulie Does Howard. No. Yeah, okay.
No.
Yeah, Paulie Does Vegas. So tonight, the college, and I'm going to have a bet on this later on in the show. And you can probably tell which one it's going to be as we discuss this, right? But you can find this stuff in certain parts of the world to bet on tonight. The first committee rankings in college football. And Alabama, as you can imagine, is a huge favorite to be number one overall. They are minus 3,000 on the yes. You can bet the no on that as well at plus $9. Does a team like Notre, could Notre Dame or Ohio State possibly be number one tonight? I don't see it. It has to be Bama, right?
Yes. Huge favorite. In the AP poll, Bama's one, Notre Dame's two, Ohio State's three, Clemson's four, A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, BYU.
Mm-hmm.
In the coaches poll, top four are the same. Florida's fifth, A&M sixth. They played. A&M won. Mm-hmm. The coaches poll of all things. Then what? Cincy, then BYU as well. Northwestern is 13th in the coaches, and they're 11th in the AP.
I think they're going to be higher than that.
Do you think they'll be top 10 tonight? I think they'll be ahead of Miami.
I think they're going to be higher than 13. By the way, that number keeps moving. That's up to 13 now this week against Michigan State.
I don't get Oregon 9. They struggled at home against UCLA and a backup quarterback, you know? It'll be interesting because we have this. Well, a lot of things will be interesting tonight.
You can also,
The BYU business, because the report, we want to see where we're at. BYU and Tom Homo, their AD, came out with a statement yesterday. He had a press conference. Quote, "We remain open to exploring options to add games and have been throughout the season. In that process, there are a variety of factors that need to be considered. Location, prep time for the game, the chances of the game being played, the testing protocols that are in place, and what the game would do for our resume. At this point of the season, having played 9 games and being nationally ranked, we are involved in discussions for possible matchups with other teams on common open dates for the benefit of both teams. Go Cougs." That was the statement yesterday, and they said they've been looking at this, and they want some, you know, controversy with Washington, and that the Apple Cup's been canceled Friday, and the fear that the Pac-12 will move the game then Sunday on them, and then it'll all be for naught. But I would definitely play. I think they'll be over when you look at their seventh in both polls. I don't think they'll be seventh tonight.
Yeah,
do think Cincinnati has a good chance to be sixth or seventh.
Yeah. Let me give you this from John Wilner at Wilner Hotline, who has covered the Pac-12 for a long, long time. He was on Twitter and he basically came back at BYU and he said, ... as long as it's on our terms, of course, speaking of BYU. And then he put in parentheses, and oh, by the way, that refusal to compromise is at the core of our ethos and why no Power Five wants us, but we'll continue to play the victim card and just hope nobody notices. So he went scorched earth on BYU, calling him out yesterday big time. And, you know, I mean, that point about the conference is kind of correct. When they thought that they could just do whatever they wanted.
We'll go independent until this year, they become irrelevant. But the other thing is, I did yesterday, I read their original schedule of 2020, which was a beast. But everything went haywire.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just now with only one game left and then see if you can add somebody. It's not going to be, BYU's going to need a miracle to happen. But Cincinnati's got a great shot because Florida's going to play Bama. A&M has to go to Auburn. I think the Tennessee game's still going to happen. Who knows? Tennessee's got issues. But in any event, still, Cincinnati's got a good resume, and they still have a top 25 team on the schedule.
And by the way, hopefully they can add a team.
That could do that,
right?
Too.
I'd love to see that happen.
That's certainly in play.
Yep.
But the other thing going for them is they might be in the clubhouse with 11 or 12 wins. Mm-hmm. How many teams can say that?
Right.
And the other thing, this is an absolute abomination. And I listened to Dan Wetzel's podcast yesterday with our good friend Pat Forty, who does it with him, who's on from time to time here from Sports Illustrated. You know what they're doing? You know these bozos are meeting in person?
Yeah.
Herbie Hancock said, well, you can't meet that long on Zoom. In a pandemic, they're meeting for over 10 hours in the same room to determine who the top. It takes 12 hours to determine who the top 25 college football teams are, and you can't do it on Zoom? Are you nuts?
Put it this way. Do you trust one word that guy says?
Oh, he's a clown.
Of course. He's changed his tune, whatever fits their narrative every single time.
What a horrible look. Yeah. These guys are running the ADs and stuff. Prominent guys in major universities.
What are they too cheap to pay for the extended version of Zoom?
You can't do Zoom that long, he says.
I call it total.
Yeah, and it takes 10 hours to determine who the top 25 teams are?
Well, I know for a fact that you can do, if you pay for it, you can do hours on Zoom. You can. So do you have to do 10 hours straight? You can't do like a 2 or 3 hour session and say, hey, guys, go get a bite to eat. We'll gather up in half an hour.
Yes.
Go take five, whatever.
I'm just afraid of the screw job tonight, though.
Well,
I mean, this is, where are they going to have Cincinnati?
Let me run down the numbers here that you can bet on then.
Yeah.
Okay. So like I said, Bama's minus 3,000 to be number one overall. The no is plus $9. To be ranked number two in their first official rankings tonight, Ohio State's minus $4. To be number two. If you can find, they opened up Notre Dame plus 150. If you can find Notre Dame to be number two tonight at any plus money, that to me is a good bet.
How do you evaluate the Big Ten, which is absolute garbage?
And oh, by the way, look at, they have the best win out of any team in the country. They beat Clemson. Ohio State has it. Indiana, very nice team this year. Very good. Right?
Maybe.
Well, I would lean that way.
Well, they beat Rutgers, Michigan State, and Michigan. Yeah. I mean, what?
No, I know. But you can't compare it to what Notre Dame has on their resume. You just can't. No. And it's Notre Dame. If ever there's going to be brand name buy, like Notre Dame has the brand name right up there with a program like Clemson or Alabama or Ohio State. Minus $4 on the Buckeyes to be number two? That to me is bonkos.
Yeah. I want to write down all the lies tonight, too. I mean, how is Florida going to be ahead of Cincinnati? When you look at stuff they've used in the past, game control, eye test, complete team. Cincinnati does an excellent job on defense. Florida can't stop a clock. Okay, how are they going to have, and they lost. Oh, by the way, how are you going to have Florida ahead of Cincinnati? A&M, okay, you went to Alabama, you got beat up pretty good. But A&M's had some difficult games. I mean, they're laying, 30, 35 to start the season against Vandy, escape with their lives at home.
Sure.
But to me, I would have Cincinnati in the top five. You have to. Basically, look how many games they've played and look at how dominant they've been and the job they've done defensively.
Well,
they're giving up. They were going in the last week. They're giving up 12 points a game.
Right. You and I can sit here and say all day long that they have to have them top five. That doesn't mean that the committee is going to have them top five. I'll get to their number coming up in a second.
Well, they also have a tough job because so many. You've played two games. I've played seven or eight.
Oh, it's unlike
you've
any other year.
You've played four. Yeah.
Sure.
Big Ten's a joke. What do you do with? Yes, it was a nice win. But you didn't have Lawrence, talking about Notre Dame. You didn't have Lawrence. They had a lot of defensive guys out and still went double overtime at home.
No, I'm not going to make any excuses. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think if you can find Notre Dame to go number two overall, I think that's a good bet, which means I think if you can find Ohio State to be number three overall at plus money, that's probably a good bet. I think it shakes out Bama 1, Notre Dame 2, Ohio State 3, then Clemson number 4. And you can find plus money on Ohio State at number 3 and Notre Dame at number 4. Clemson at number 4. But the best bet that I like right there is Notre Dame at plus 150 to go number 2 overall.
Okay.
That to me makes the most sense. And now, here you go, with the over-unders of some of these teams. They put Texas A&M at 5.5.
I think they're going to have them 5 because they beat Florida. Don't you think?
I mean, yes, I would. Yeah, yes.
Well, they have them ahead of undefeated
Cincinnati.
I'm
not going to bet that, but if I was forced to bet it tonight, I would bet Texas A&M under 5.5.
Okay, we just went through this for a couple years with UCF. They were dominant. They were impressive.
Correct.
They couldn't sniff that this range. Same conference.
I know.
It's very interesting to see what they do with Cincinnati tonight. Very interesting.
Other teams. I'll get to Cincinnati here in a minute, but they have BYU at 10.5.
I like it over. I think
they're going to drop that far.
Well, drop where? I mean, I just think it's the first time they're doing this. I just, it's going to be because the infatuation with Northwestern, Oregon, maybe even a Miami, someone like that. and just they lose their minds over the SEC. I said it a month ago. Who's better, Georgia or Cincinnati? Watch the games. Okay? Watch that pathetic Georgia offense.
Well,
until they finally put the right quarterback
in. Right, yeah.
But where will they have Georgia? I think you'll see BYU outside the top 10.
And you think Georgia's going to be inside the top 10?
Well, I know about you, but I'm just saying that I could see Northwestern, Miami, Oregon, those kind of teams, and the differences between the polls and what the committee will do tonight.
I don't see a number on Northwestern, but I think there's a good chance they're going to be top 10. I do have the number here on Cincinnati, and I'm with you on this. It's 7.5.
Yeah, that I like under.
Yeah, so do I.
I think worst case, Cincinnati's 7.
So do I. That's exactly the number where I have them pegged at, which makes sense. I mean, forget my opinion for a second, but I think for the committee, trying to think what they're going to do, I think 7 makes perfect sense. Lower than 7, meaning 8, 9, 10, it's a bad look, I think, for the committee. Especially when, not that it matters, but you have guys on the College Football Show who've been making a case for Cincinnati to be at least number 5 now for weeks.
That's true. A lot of guys have had them in their top 5 with the rankings for much of the year. And you can't ignore their resume and what they've done defensively. I mean, going into the Saturday's game against 6 FBS opponents, all of them held under 17 points and 300 yards. Against pass-happy, going crazy, you know, up-tempo, good quarterbacks. Memphis, SMU. Army was good, too. Army had a nice record, a nice come-from-behind win. But they shut down Army, too.
Yeah, for Army to do nothing against that defense. Now, Army might not be what they were a couple of years ago, but this Army program is a team that, on a short week, when you don't have time to get ready for that triple option, we always hear that a zillion times, right? They have given out other, like, Power 5 teams fits over the years in the regular season. Hello, Oklahoma 2 years ago. How'd that go for the Sooners?
Mm-hmm.
When Army had the time of possession was like 40-plus minutes, and the Oklahoma had to squeak by in overtime to beat them. That Army team was also very good.
Cincinnati's got a good offense, too.
Yes,
you saw that Saturday. They left a lot. They dominated much of that game. They left a lot of points on the field. We know what happened at the end. Plus, they had red zone issues. Then the kid's wide open for a touchdown. He falls down. They had to settle for a field goal. Then they fumbled a punt that led to 7 points. And then the 4th and 11, to me, was a fight. I didn't even see the replay. Where's the flag? Where was the hold there that kept it alive, a drive that resulted in a touchdown for UCF? But it's hard to win on the road. There were fans there.
You watch what's going to happen with Cincinnati, by the way.
How so?
They will lose at Tulsa.
It's possible.
They will lose that game.
That team's ranked. They find a way to win. Their only loss is by 9 on the road against Oklahoma State. First game, they didn't play well on offense. They could do that.
Yeah.
It helps them, though, that they get time off, too. I don't know what they're going to do coming up in that, but that game got moved back to December 12th from December 4th. So now they don't have to go road game, road game, road game.
It's like so many years in the past in college football when we want to make a case. Like last year in the Pac-12 with Utah. Utah's going to get in. Oklahoma's not going to be ahead of Utah. And then look at what they did in the Pac-12 title game. The game was over with in the second quarter.
Well, guess what,
Oregon
though?
Killed them.
Yeah, they finally took the training wheels off Herbert.
No, I know that, yeah.
They also played a top 10. At Utah. They played a top 10 team, and Oregon did the unthinkable. They opened up the offense for the first time. And they were running option and doing crazy stuff with Herbert. And how good's Herbert?
Sure. As we're seeing now. Like, if the coaching staff knew what they were doing, Oregon would have been in the team to be in the playoff last year.
And they blew the game to start the first game against Auburn, right?
It's like the Boise game at Nevada like a decade ago, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaepernick and Nevada, they were awesome. But they were top 15?
Yeah.
Offensively, they were great. But Boise had a chance. They had a chance to be in the conversation.
Anything else? Yeah, anything else tonight? Even Coastal Carolina. Stuff you'll never see in our
Marshall,
lifetime.
Marshall, teams like that.
Very good Marshall team.
I think
how high is Coastal Carolina? Because this is important. If there's you have an upsets about who's going to go for the get that automatic bid for the major bowl game. But Louisiana, Marshall, Coastal Carolina, how far does Indiana drop? Where's Northwestern? A lot of intrigue. I'm excited.
Yep. Think Northwestern's top 10?
No, I don't. I would not have them top 10. But
no, I'm asking what you think the committee will do with them.
That's another one. Who says, why are we, Wisconsin was good? Says who? Because they beat Michigan and Illinois.
That number, meaning Wisconsin lane 7.5 or 8, was, I think, based on reputation from previous years. And I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
So what they blew out Michigan. So what they beat down Illinois.
Stop Stop with recruiting. This is not how you do, you crown and determine a champion. Oh, look at all the talent. Look at all the five stars. Look, okay, well, you just told me Penn State was preseason top 10.
Right.
How'd that go? Play the damn games. Look at the actual results. I don't care about who's got NFL players. Who? It doesn't mean nothing. Go back, what was it, 10 years ago, the Lakers had four future Hall of Famers on the team. They were the eighth seed. Barely got in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, who cares about how many five-star recruits play? Look at the results.
We've been saying that for 10, 15, 20 years. Get rid of college football ratings. College basketball and college, what's the point? They're worthless. They don't mean a damn. They never have.
And it happens every year.
Yeah.
That a preseason top 10 can't even go 500.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Let's follow the money here on VSiN. It's going to be fun tonight to watch. Again, yeah, you and I, we each like Cincinnati under 7.5. I like Notre Dame to go number 2 overall at some plus money. We will run down updated offensive rookie of the year numbers in the NFL. 16-1 on Herbert's looking pretty good. That said, it is not over with. We'll run down the numbers coming up next. Ready for a faster way to win? When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with the code VSIN250 to get a 100% deposit match up to $250. You must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. Must be 21 plus. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, the phone number is 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and Illinois. It's 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. And the number in the state of Iowa is 1-800-BETS-OFF. So you noticed this yesterday. Updated numbers on Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL, courtesy of our friends over at PointsBet. And look at that. Because of the Burrow injury, Herbert was around even money. He goes to minus $10 now to win the award. And he is, you got to ask Paul Charchin about this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the fantasy world, Charch has pretty much been saying you can't make a case for any quarterback outside of maybe Murray and Mahomes in fantasy over Herbert.
Unbelievable. Wow. They also, he has the easiest schedule of fantasy defenses. And when the playoffs start, I think he gets Houston and Atlanta. Let me bring the schedule up.
Oh, that's the schedule?
I believe so. Let me look at it. I think that's how it plays out. But there was a great article on ESPN about remaining schedule and tied in with fantasy too. And what's left for these quarterbacks. Tough slate for Rodgers.
Yeah. So we talked about this after he took over in week 2 against the Chiefs, and it looks like, you know, the injury to Taylor came into play, and then Lynn was gonna name Herbert the quarterback. We're like, oh my God, he's 16-1. You got to get on this right now. And so if you grab 16, 14, 12, whatever the number was, we are looking very good this morning, but knock on wood, it doesn't mean it's over with by any stretch of the imagination. There was one book I noticed yesterday who put up Justin Herbert. The field against Herbert was plus $8. So you could get every other rookie at plus $8 right now against Herbert.
Not Houston, but he has that stretch. New England, Atlanta, Vegas. That's the stretch for Herbert when you're in the fantasy playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah.
He'll put up good numbers again.
Yeah. Okay.
But as you said earlier in today's program, how is Tua and Jefferson, how are they both priced at 10-1? To me, Tua has...
two games under 90 yards. Right. He was benched. He was benched last week.
I mean, if you be realistic about it, Tua should have no chance to win this award right now.
I agree.
None.
Yep. And Jefferson's been a beast. He's had a hell of a year.
He's gonna
put up... Now Thielen's got COVID.
I know it.
Who else is he going to throw to?
Rudolph, Irv Smith.
848. He could maybe top two in receiving yards, this kid.
As a rookie receiver, 848 and four scores. I mean, he's not everybody's Randy Moss coming out of college, right? But to go as a rookie and put up 848 mm-hmm. yards in 10 games, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Also playing wide receiver. I think Claypool at 50-1. Like, look, and I'm saying this like maybe something happens to Herbert. I don't know. I don't want to say it out loud. But you know what I'm talking about. Claypool's 50-1. He has 39 catches, 559 yards, 8 touchdowns, but also 2 on the ground. He's got 10 touchdowns overall. 10 TDs in 2 games, and he's 50-1. Lamb's 50-1. Nah. I'll tell you, a kid who is getting no run whatsoever, and he should be, is that Robinson from Jacksonville. He's 30-1. Right now, here are his numbers. 762 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, 31 catches, 249 through the year, and he's got more than 1,000 yards combined. It's just that they're so bad,
yeah.
People don't really consider him.
Man, no one watches him either.
Yep. And Hilaire is actually putting up some pretty good numbers. Uh-huh. Now, fantasy people will tell you, well, he, you know, not first round numbers like where we were taking him. Well, maybe you had too high of expectations for him. But he's got 655 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns, 29 catches for 232 and another score. He's 30-1. I can see Jefferson and I can see Claypool making a major run or some sort of a run. I'll say that at Herbert.
I was surprised though when I saw that yesterday at PointsBet. He's won now 1-10, so it's really opened up for Herbert.
Yeah, when you text me, I was like, are you serious?
Yep.
Wow. And then I noticed there's another book that made him minus -$7 yesterday.
Well, great job. Great job by you betting that. And I don't know. I thought I said watch out for this guy because of the coaching. And then I didn't bet it. Like, I didn't listen to you. Although it was just a depressing time in the summer as well.
Yeah. Are you talking about, like, the possible upgrade from...
That? We played that clip many times about coaching. Look at Tua's got Saban. Look who Herbert has.
Yeah.
That's going to make the difference. Who would... Can you imagine? Yep. They're playing a completely different sport, Tua and Herbert, right now.
We'll talk some NBA up next. I'll tell you about a 200-1 bet that I made. And is this suddenly the best team he's ever played on? Hoops betting guide is out today, and now is the perfect time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get this massive in-depth guide to all the teams, conferences, and impact players for this unique college basketball season. I'm telling you, like, Humans is in there, Peterson, JVT, Wes Reynolds, among others, with their top 50 teams in the country with their power ratings. Steve Mackinnon, great betting tips, and he also tracked, you know, all of the new coaches, whether you can expect an improvement from those coaches at their new programs. The team will decline, stay the same. Awesome. It's more than 400 pages. Get it today. And everything that we offer for 25% off with savings right now at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Little NBA here. It has been a pretty wild offseason. Not normally like where it would be in previous years, like in June and July, when it's just complete chaos. But still, nonetheless, some of the signings that have taken place, how the Bucks never ended up with Bogdanovich. They thought that was maybe tampering. So now he had to sign the offer sheet with the Hawks. But when you look on paper right now at what the Los Angeles Lakers have put together, the defending champs, take a peek at this tweet from Arash Markazi, the Lakers depth chart, and you shop around at their prices to win the NBA title. So they added Dennis Schroeder for a first round pick, which I'm a huge Schroeder guy. I think him going to the Lakers and adding some backup point guard depth or being the starting point guard when they want to shift around LeBron to another position is going to be just awesome. They added Wesley Matthews. They brought back KCP. They have Kuzma. They re-signed Markieff Morris. Nothing with Anthony Davis as of yet, but everybody expects him to go there. They brought in Marc Gasol and Harrell from the Clippers.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now that on paper, this is the best team LeBron James has ever played on.
I agree. The Dwight Howard thing was hilarious. Hey, I'm staying in L.A. Let's run it back. An hour later, he goes to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Harrell said that it felt like the Clippers didn't want me. Well, maybe I don't blame him. How bad were you in the playoffs, and especially against Denver in that series?
Mm-hmm.
Jokic killed you. So it's they have depth. They brought in some talent. Great job by the Lakers. Their win total, William Hill, 47.5. Got to play 70 games for action.
Mm-hmm.
At the Westgate, you have to play 69 games. There was one book did fall asleep and kept up a 31 on OKC. That's now 24.5 at William Hill.
Oh, mamma mia.
Yeah. I mean, all they have is Gilgeous Alexander. That's a total rebuild.
Yep. With like 20 draft picks in the next 10 years.
That's going to be, it's hard to envision Oklahoma City getting the 25 wins. And the Heat are 44. How about the Warriors? 37.5. Is that too high? That's a tough one.
I'm not going to be surprised if the Warriors make another move.
Okay.
Because they brought in Oubre. And I think that with that team, think about this for a second, right? They were putting together this dynasty when they were playing in Oakland at the Oracle, that stadium that had been there, the arena that had been there forever. They suddenly move over to San Francisco and play on that side, right? And in that city, and there's no Kevin Durant, and the team is completely decimated by injuries last year. And now it's just like, okay, they were the best team, one of the best dynasties of all time in any sport in the previous years leading up to that team coming over now to San Francisco, and now we're going to be like this?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be happy about that.
Hard to bet a win total, though. Season starts in a month.
Yeah.
A couple of reasons. COVID. You have your money tied up for so long. You already have LeBron James on record. We're going to be sitting, guys. I mean, they just won the title now. It's a short turnaround. December 22nd, they start the season. And will you get all these games in? You know, the rule 69, 70 games, well, how that's going to work. But it's just the Clippers. How about the Clippers with 47? You don't think there's going to be load management? How many games?
Of course.
How many games is pandemic Paul and Kawhi going to have off? Mm-hmm. You know? Now you lose Harrell, too, and a little bit of depth. I saw the Beverly tweet, too. He couldn't believe it.
Yep.
But very difficult to bet win totals in the NBA with what we're looking at here with a crazy season.
The best number that I have found on the Lakers to win the NBA title, but for reasons that you just explained, like maybe not, you know, tying up money to win the NBA championship or win totals is the best idea right now. But the Lakers here at Circa, they are plus 355. I'll give you another one. Bobby Marks, ESPN, he tweeted this out. He thinks Portland jumps into the top four in the West, and he actually has them number two right now.
Come on.
Behind the Lakers.
Why?
Well, Lillard and McCollum. They added Covington to play the small forward.
Cantor.
Collins back from injury. Nurkic.
Didn't they get Cantor?
Re-signed Anthony. Brought in Cantor. He's on the team. Loves the makeup of him.
Well, one guy plays defense, Covington. That was the problem last year.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
And how do you think the Bucks, though? The deal for Bogdanovich that slipped through, and then he's like, you never got my permission. What are we doing here? And then he signs the offer sheet with the Hawks. And the Hawks are a team that I think the Hawks can finish second in their division behind the Heat. I took a shot here. You're going to laugh at this because you don't like the kid. He averaged 29.6 points per game last year, 36% on threes, 9.5 assists. I bet Trae Young 200-1 to win the MVP.
Really?
It was the best number that I could find. He was also like 100-1 or below that every other book. So I saw 200. I made a bet on that. They've actually added Rondo. They had the top five pick. I hope they actually keep this the offer sheet that they made to Bogdanovich. Hopefully the Kings won't match that. And they brought in Gallinari.
Yes. Another good move. Yep.
I just think he's going to put up, maybe his numbers come back a little bit this year, but at 200-1, people are going to think I'm crazy for betting him at that number and he has no chance, but I just think 200-1 was a really good number on him.
How about a playoff prop? Do the yes, no to make the playoffs? I mean, how does OKC get to 25 wins? Come on. I mean, the one book had a 31 up there.
31, that's right, yeah.
I can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
No way. And then what is that? What happens with the Suns? They bring in Chris Paul, made some moves. They were one of the biggest stories in the bubble. They played great ball.
I would actually love to see that continue this year out of the gates. where
they were fun.
Where they would be a threat. Yeah, they were a blast to watch.
Did they cover every game in the bubble too?
I believe they're 8-0 ATS.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was wild.
They have some good parts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is before the Paul trade.
Well, it's a young team. It does a lot for their confidence too.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you got to worry about all these teams. How about the teams that weren't invited to the bubble or didn't get to go? Look, you've been off since March.
Mm-hmm.
What's that going to look like?
Uh-huh. A bunch of them in the East.
That's right.
Right? The team that had the number one overall pick, the Timberwolves. Almost off for a full year because of what happened. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. Our good friend Paul Stone joins the show coming up next. We'll find out who we bet on Sunday, the Circa World Openers in college football. We also want him to share his top 10 power-rated teams and how he thinks that's going to look compared to what the committee might do tonight. Paul Stone coming up next.
Customers at Bet Rivers Sportsbook get a great deal for this week's NFL games. Deposit $50, get $100 in free bets. It's easy. Use the code NFL100 at Bet Rivers. You get your $100 in free bets. Great customer service. Only one-time playthrough. Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey is play. Sugar House, if you're in the Chicago area, stop by Rivers Casino to see Danny Burke on Rush Hour, which is also on the Marquee Sports Network, 6 p.m. Central Time.
The great Paul Stone joins the program now. He joins us twice every week because Thanksgiving falls on Thursday. His other day where he joins us, he will join us, I think, on Friday of this week to talk about some more college games. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Oh, doing great, guys. Just a beautiful fall morning here in Texas and glad to be facing another week of college football.
Before we get your plays that you made out here at Circa on Sunday, how'd you do last week?
Last week was not a good week at Circa or anywhere else for Mr. Stone. It was my second, negative week of the year. So one of those things, you know, I had an average of about 3 points of value a ticket there, but ended up losing money, and that's the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes you have value and you don't win, and just have to reload, regroup, keep working the process, and hope for better results this week.
Well, I mean, he did a great job getting the value. It's a tough racket, no doubt about it. This is a season, well, we'll never see a season like this again. Did you middle the Cincinnati game? You got pick. Go ahead.
I did, yeah. Thank you for asking about that. That was one positive. I took Cincinnati at pick on the previous Sunday at UCF and then came back. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It actually hit six, and I took UCF plus six for half the original bet. So got fortunate there, but did hit a middle. Have a similar middle this week. I took way back in June, early June there at the MGM book at Bellagio. I took Iowa State plus 10.5, and that ticket's in play this week. And then I came back on Sunday at Circa and took Texas minus one. So I've got a pretty nice little
middle
that hopefully might come to fruition.
Yeah, very nice. No kidding. What else did you bet on Sunday in college football, Paul?
I made 14 plays. 13 of those plays are still in action. The San Diego State-Fresno game was a total I took that's been canceled. Of the 13 tickets, so there's four sides and nine totals. Unlike previous weeks where I really averaged right at about 2.5 points of value a ticket, on the 13 remaining tickets, I only have an average of 1 point of value. So the lines are getting tighter. I actually have 11 tickets with positive value out of the 13. One is the same and one negative, but I'm just not getting as much value on those tickets as I was earlier in the year and even as recently as last week. But I can go with you. Want me to go with those tickets real quick?
Yep.
Just okay. All right, the ones that I have, I've got Colorado USC over 61.5. line currently 64. Have Iowa State, Texas under 58.5. Have Troy, Appalachian State under 49.5. Western Kentucky, Charlotte under 49.5. My negative value ticket, Oklahoma State, took them at minus 12. The line now minus 10. Took North Carolina, Syracuse under 49.5. Texas minus 1, as I mentioned. Tulsa plus 3. That line now plus 1. Maryland, Indiana under 62. That ticket's the same as the current line. New Mexico, Utah State under 54. Kentucky, Florida over 57.5. Northwestern Michigan State under 42.5, and then Notre Dame minus 3.5.
Okay, excellent. What did you have last week with App State? Could you believe that beat, Paul?
Yeah, that was incredible. I actually played, you know, again, we're hitting my winners. I actually had Coastal Carolina minus 5, not one of my larger plays, but got fortunate there. That was just incredible, you know, returning the interception, I guess, there for the touchdown
yes.
late. That was something else.
Yes.
But, yeah, one of those things.
We're excited tonight for the first rankings with the College Football Committee and the playoff, but we wanted to talk to a good – talk to you in a pro sports better here. What do you have for your top 10 rankings and your power rated teams?
Yeah, and I'll first of all start off by framing it this way, that, you know, the committee's got to look at the whole body of work, whether it be, you know, a team that's played 10 games or a team that's played 1, 2, or 3 games. They're going to look at the whole body of work. I'm going to look at where those teams are right now. Mine are going to be more true power ratings used for the purpose of handicapping, and my rankings will be pretty close, but what I've got right now for my top 10 would be Alabama number 1, Ohio State number 2, Clemson number 3, Florida number 4, Notre Dame number 5, and now for my team that's going to be much higher ranked than what the committee will have.
Can I guess?
Okay.
I was going to say Oklahoma.
Oklahoma number 6. I should have let you jump in there. But since the Sooners lost those back-to-back games to Kansas State and Iowa State, the 5 games since, they've got a power rating by my system of 96. I don't know if any team's got a higher power rating than 96 over that 5-game stretch. I think important to note, too, they played their first several games without linebacker defensive end Ronnie Perkins and then running back Ramondre Stevenson. And I don't know if you guys watched the Oklahoma State game closely, but Perkins was a wild man on defense. I mean, that guy, it's much fun as you make about Oklahoma's, we make about Big 12 defense, Oklahoma's defense. Perkins is a big-time football player. He's going to be an NFL guy. And then moving down the list, Texas A&M, I've got them at number 7, Cincinnati, number 8, BYU, number 9, and then I've got Georgia at 10. And if you want me to, go over what I think the committee will do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sure.
Just jump right to the committee. I think they're going to have Alabama number 1. I don't think there's any question about that. I think Notre Dame will be number 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, Florida 5, Texas A&M 6, Cincinnati 7. I'm going to say Northwestern 8, BYU 9, and then kind of tough on the 10th one, but I think Indiana might get the 10th slot, maybe over Miami, Oregon, Georgia, some of those teams.
Okay, very good. I disagree. I think they're going to flip Florida and A&M. I think they're going to matter. I think head-to-head's going to matter there.
And you very well might be right. Certainly, they're going to take into account very heavily the fact, even though it was played in College Station, that A&M did beat Florida earlier in the year. So that very well might be the case.
I'm with you on Notre Dame, by the way. I think they land at number 2 tonight. I don't think the committee is going to ignore that win that they had against Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's even though, you know, I look at Clemson, you know, not only people talk about the quarterback, and we've talked about it before, but they were without several defensive players. They were without offensive linemen. They were not anywhere near full strength, not to take anything away from Notre Dame, but those things have to be taken into account. But I think they'll, they're going to give this Notre Dame, and that's a big brand, as big as it gets in college football, and they're undefeated, and they beat Clemson. So I think they're going to get that number 2 spot in the original rankings tonight.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, are we going to get a true idea of how good, like, Ohio State is by the end of the regular season? Because to me, last year, and I said this yesterday, like, I grew up in Big Ten country. I've watched Ohio State my entire life. Last year's Buckeyes team was the best I've ever seen. They were loaded everywhere. I still think they should have beaten Clemson, actually, in the playoff game, right?
They blew it.
But they lost a lot on defense, and we saw that on Saturday against Indiana. I mean, Penix was fantastic with those receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I think he threw for about 450 yards. I may be a little bit off, but Ohio State clearly has issues in the back four on their defense. And, you know, it's a college football game now where the passing game, not only is it an offensive game, but it's an offensive game with a heavy lean towards passing. So they're going to have to get those issues shored up, you know, if they're going to have an opportunity to win a national championship. You know, they're very strong offensively with Fields and the receivers, Olave and Garrett Wilson and those guys. But they've got some defensive issues. And, you know, if Alabama, there's some talk that Jaylen Waddle could possibly return. If Ohio State has to play Alabama with that downfield passing game and Waddle on the field, that could get messy.
Yeah, no kidding. Good luck to them at that point. You can follow Paul on Twitter. He is at Paul Stone Sports. Great appearance as always, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to being with you guys again on Friday. Everybody have a safe, happy Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Yep. You too.
Thanks, sir. Well
done. There you go.
13 tickets, 11 positive value. Good for him.
A losing week last week.
Well, it's a big part of the battle, though, I know. But it's hard. And especially like this year. You know, a lot of guys are struggling. It's a difficult year. We'll never see another season like this. The news isn't coming down. Cancellations. Who's out? Who's in? Sometimes right before the games. Look at that. I mean, the Temple fiasco.
The kid's girlfriend.
Yeah, the kid's girlfriend. Yeah. I thought they're going to cancel the game.
So did I.
But the bad beats, too. I mean, you got to be lucky. You want to be good? I'll take luck. I mean, look at all these games are ending. Chubb. Gurley. UCF.
Coastal.
Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
Virginia. Pick six
Another
last
one.
Play. I mean, it's crazy. Also, all these bookmakers are so sharp. And is there a can you bet Ohio State not to be number two? Or is it just what's is that a price?
No, it's
or is it
like
just they offer two?
They offer second, third, fourth.
See, I want to bet no, not number two.
Okay. Well, who do you think could be number two other than Notre Dame?
That's it. You're not going to have Clemson.
No.
No way.
No. It's going to go. Bama won tonight. They're minus 3,000. Globally speaking, a book opened Ohio State number two at minus $4.
You want to go tinfoil hat guy? It's a TV show. Okay. Notre Dame plays the big game on ABC Friday. They want Notre Dame number two. Bump that up even more. Notre Dame will be number two. Yeah. Notre Dame's on ABC Friday afternoon.
And they opened up plus 150 to go number two tonight, which I think is a great number if you can still find it. If any plus number on Notre Dame is available right now, number two, I would take it.
I got to call them like I see them. And I got to be fair. I thought Ohio State, they were going to beat LSU last year. Ohio State was unbelievable.
They were incredible.
They blew it against Clemson. Okay.
Yep.
But this year, I mean, how do you evaluate Ohio State when the Big Ten is atrocious?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you beat Nebraska. Look at these teams. Michigan, Michigan State. I mean, when it's all said and done, look at Ohio State's schedule.
Yeah.
It's going to, they need some help. Indiana needs to keep winning. But they're not going to bring that up. They'll knock Cincinnati and BYU. They'll never mention how the Big Ten blows. I mean, there's going to be nothing on Ohio State's
resume. Saturday was their best win by far.
Yeah.
And now they're going to be, 14-plus point favorites against Northwestern if they play them. Nigel Seeley, tons of soccer this week. His best bet's coming up.